The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land which Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For the Jews used nothing in common with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If only you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
Give us living water. Give us living water. Give us living water.
The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Give us living water. Give us living water.
Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband.' You have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
Give us living water. Give us living water.
The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, I am he, the one speaking with you. At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still, no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out from the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat, of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be there'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work."
Give us living water. Give us living water. Give us living water. Give us living water.
Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So you've just been listening to one of the nicest stories in the Gospel. Really, a fascinating story. And I often think we miss some of the best parts of the story, and they're often in one single line. And so we'll try and maybe look at some of those little lines, and conscious of the time, we'll try and keep it short and to the point, if that's possible. And the first thing that comes up there is Jacob's well. I want to say, everything you read in the Bible is significant, and everything, there's nothing left to chance. So they met at Jacob's well. Now, what's so significant about Jacob's well? Well, Jacob's well was in a place called Sychar, as it says in the Bible, or in the reading today, but the name of that town was Shechem. Shechem, today is modern name, and as many of you here who have been to the Holy Land, I'm sure you have been there, today is called Nablus. And if you've been with Monsignor or with somebody else to the Holy Land, I'm sure that would have been part of the itinerary. When I visited the Holy Land a number of times, we always went to Nablus and to see Jacob's well. And Jacob's well, there's an almighty amount of history attached to Jacob's well. because Jacob's well, Shechem, was the place where Abraham God made a covenant with Abraham, and there were many covenants made there, and it was there that the promise of the Messiah to come was also made. And another interesting part of Jacob's well, it became a place for young couples to meet because of the significance of the many covenants being made there. And so a young couple would meet there and they would make their beautiful and personal covenant of love. And so Jacob's well was a very important place. I had the pleasure and the privilege, really, of being at the religious congress down in Anaheim for 2 days on Friday and Saturday. And on Friday morning, I went to a talk that probably I'll never forget as long as I live, because there was a young woman there, a black lady, and she was just phenomenal. And she acted out the story of the woman at Jacob's well. And she was really, and she put on, you know, a veil and so on, and she came along with a jar on her head, and she's coming in the midday sun, and she's coming along. Oh! A man! A Jew! Huh! What is he doing there? Give me a drink. Huh! You haven't even got a bucket! He asked me, a Samaritan woman, and you a Jew, for a drink. Huh. And it went on like that. I know you wanted me to keep going, but I was just giving a little bit. And she was absolutely wonderful. Wonderful. Now, just to tell you a little story for a moment. There's a nice little story about again, it fits in nicely with the covenant of love and marriage and so on. There was this young couple getting married, and the young bride went along to the wedding cake decorator, and she said, I want you to put on the cake, when you're finished, the inscription from the first letter to John, John's first letter, 4:18, love casts out all fear. There is no perfect love. No, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Beautiful thing to put on the wedding cake. But a poor guy decorating the wedding cake did not know the difference between an epistle or a letter and the gospel. So instead of putting on John, first letter to John 4:18, he put on, from what you have just listened to today, John 4:18, which said, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. Happy honeymoon. Now, how does the gospel of the Good Samaritan apply to us? Well, I tell you how it does, very, very much. It's all a question of how we see people and how we judge people. And when we read the gospel of the Samaritan, the Samaritan woman, I think we put her down as, you know, a bad woman. She's had 5 husbands. Why do you think she had 5 husbands? Did that make her a bad person? Well, we got to go back to the time of Jesus, and in many parts of the world today too, in that culture, and many women still live in that culture. And in the culture, in the time of Jesus, a woman had no rights, no place in society. She had nobody to defend her. and husbandless, she was absolutely marooned. Now, a man could divorce his wife in those days for any reason. So, for example, he could divorce her if she failed to get pregnant. He could divorce her, and this might apply to a lot of you, if she couldn't cook. For any simple reason, he could divorce her. So here was a woman who had been abused, discarded, rejected many, many times. So much so that she was afraid to appear when the other women would be going to the well, either early morning or late evening, not in the middle of the day when the sun was at its hottest and its highest. So she was a woman living in shame. Living in shame. And then she meets this man. And he sits down and he talks to her. And he looks at her. And what does Jesus see when he looks at her? He looks into her soul, into her heart, and he sees there himself. Himself. She's a daughter of God, made in the image of God. And he looks in and he sees this beautiful woman, this beautiful soul. Now look how we look at people. We judge them by what shape they are. Whether they're tall or slim or not so slim, or we judge people by their color, by their accent, by where they came from, by how much money they have, by what kind of a job they have. All these things that don't matter. He looked at her, and he looked into her heart. And there's a beautiful part of the story that we might miss. He said to her, "Go and bring your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." She never had. She had five men in her life who used her. It's a different thing. The man she had at the moment was her sixth. And then this man comes into our life, Jesus. What number is he? Number seven. And seven is the number in the scriptures that denotes perfection. And he was the first man in her life that loved her for herself. Not for how he could use her or what he could get from her, but for herself. He looked at her, he loved her, because he could see into her heart and into her soul. And she received that love. And that Samaritan woman, when he asked for a drink, she let him drink from her jar. You have no idea, I have no idea of the significance of that. Have you ever heard the name of the Samaritan woman? She's always referred to as the Samaritan woman. Well, she had a name, because she was baptized by Jesus. And her name was, the name she had was Photini, Photini. Photini. And Photini, that word means the enlightened one. And she became the enlightened one. And we're told she suddenly left her jar and she ran back into the village, where she was rejected and criticized, and people gossiped about her and spoke about her. And she said, "Come with me, I found a Messiah." And she was so convincing, because it came from the heart, not from the lips. that people ran to meet Jesus to see for themselves. What was the significance of the fact that she left the jar behind her, her jar in which she would collect water? What was the significance of that? She left her old life behind. She became a new woman and a whole new life. And in her excitement, she forgot about her jar and everything else, because now she was a transformed woman. A transformed woman. Now, to conclude, what lesson can I take from the gospel today? And what lesson can you take? Very important lesson. And it is, meet people where they are, accept them where they are, and stop, for God's sake, and I mean for God's sake, judging. Pope Francis said, "Who am I to judge?" And we're too quick to judge. A woman after, and put it this way, go back a little bit in the church. And for that many people who are maybe through no fault of their own, many women, many men, divorced or separated, where their husband or wife left, and for somebody else, they were rejected. And what did they find when they came to church? More rejection. Or you're not allowed to come to communion because you're a divorcee. Is that what Jesus would say? Is that what Jesus would say? Yes or no? No. Of course he wouldn't. He accepted everybody. He was totally inclusive. And we need to, Jesus never said, worship me. He said, follow me. We got to be imitators of Jesus. Got to be like him if we're true Christians. True followers. And so we need to stop being so quick to judge. Not you, me too, because I've been guilty of that. Very easy to judge. Look at people, oh, I'm better than him or better than her. I'm not. I'm not. Everybody has a unique dignity. So we got to accept people where they are. That means accept people who are poor, people who are homeless, people who are separated, people who are gay or lesbian or transgender. Every one of them is loved by God. Loved by God. And we got to accept them. So I want you to use that from now on as a mantra. As a mantra. Who am I to judge? Say it after me. Who am I to judge? Say after that, amen.
Amen.
And let that be your resolution from now on. Who am I to judge? And every time you're tempted to judge, stop. Think. And say, who am I to judge? Amen. Now let's start.